produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Wednesday, March 12th, and it's 4:20 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belleville. You can make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. Join up with the dedicated, hardworking activists of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws at norml.org. We want to take a moment to thank all the people who have visited our blog at stash.normal.org. Not only will you find the expanded text and links for all of our daily hemp headlines, you will find the downloads for the full podcast and all our PodSafe music, commentary from myself and other activists, and you can leave your comments for the whole cannabis community. It's news, it's commentary, it's music, it's the blog that only Normal can deliver, the Daily Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. Also, if you have a product that you would like to market to the cannabis community, you can advertise on the Daily Audio Stash. Your ad will be focused on exactly the customer base you're seeking out, the thousands of responsible cannabis consumers who download and listen to this show. Our listeners are educated consumers who want to support the businesses that support the growing truth about cannabis, and we deliver the advertising freedom you won't find on radio, TV, or print ads. To advertise on the Daily Audio Stash, send us an email at stash@normal.org. Wednesday is Cannabis Science Day on the Stash, and coming up after the news, we're separating the stems of propaganda from the buds of truth with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Today, we look at a study that claims lithium can be used to break so-called marijuana addiction. Then, Cannabis Carry has unearthed a singer-songwriter named Mark Gothard performing his song about a famous hemp farmer called If Thomas Jefferson Were Here for our musical break today. So welcome to the show, sit back with your favorite strain, and enjoy your Normal Daily Audio Stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Activist alert, hearings for medical marijuana in Illinois. House Bill 4715, the bill to allow citations instead of arrest for misdemeanor cannabis possession charges, will be brought up in the House Judiciary 2 Committee on Criminal Law at their 8 a.m. meeting on Thursday, March 13th, at the state legislature in Springfield, Illinois. The bill's sponsor, State Representative Constance Howard, is on the committee, along with two state reps who voted against House Bill 1864 last year. There is also Representative Howard's bill for 911 Good Samaritans at the same hearing. The Democrats slightly control that committee 7-6, so hopefully we can get those bills through. Senate Bill 2865 will have another hearing in the Senate Public Health Committee meeting at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, March 13th. At the end of the last hearing, it was mentioned that some details between Cullerton and a few other senators would be worked out, and we're assuming that this next hearing is what that will focus on. The deadline for the House bills to be out of committee is Friday, March 14th, and the Senate bills, it is Thursday, March 13th. For more information on these bills and who you should contact, please check illinoisnormal.org at illinoisnorml.org. And if you can, make the trip to Springfield to show your support for these pro-marijuana bills tomorrow, Thursday, March 13th. Gilligan's Marianne caught with dope. Driggs, Idaho. Dawn Wells, who played Marianne on Gilligan's Island, is serving 6 months unsupervised probation after allegedly being caught with marijuana in her car. She was sentenced February 29th to 5 days in jail, fined $410.50, and placed on probation after pleading guilty to one count of reckless driving. Under a plea agreement, three misdemeanor counts, driving under the influence, possession of drug paraphernalia, and possession of a controlled substance, were dropped. Now, I always knew that I liked Marianne better. Come on, you liked Marianne better than Ginger too, admit it. Well, certainly more than Mrs. Howell. Now I know why. We'll talk to Steve Bloom on Friday for the CelebStoner.com take on this, but as a native Idahoan, let me just say that Driggs, Idaho is one of my favorite places in the state. It's at the gateway to the Grand Tetons and Yellowstone Park, and it's just an absolutely beautiful part of the planet. I didn't even know that Dawn Wells was living in my former home state, so interesting to hear some news about marijuana coming from Idaho. Minnesota. Pot as painkiller creates controversy. St. Paul, Minnesota. Lynn Nicholson has spent a great deal of her life in more pain than most people can imagine. When she was 10 years old, she and a friend were playing in the attic of her family's house in Minneapolis when the floor gave way. The two girls fell 8 feet and crashed onto the floor below. Lynn landed on the hard floor. She stumbled to get up, but her back was so hurt she wasn't able to balance herself, and she tumbled down a flight of stairs. She's had 10 back surgeries and spent 3 years in a body cast. She's been on a long list of painkillers and had to check herself into a detox facility in an effort to get off them. She received steroid injections in her back, which she said her doctors told her caused steroid-induced diabetes. She was prescribed the painkiller fentanyl, of which a possible side effect, according to some studies, is tooth decay, and had to have all of her teeth pulled. She put on more than 200 pounds, has trouble getting around, and sometimes has to use a wheelchair and a stairlift. In order to help with the pain, Nicholson smokes marijuana. She said she does it because it does not produce the negative side effects of her prescribed painkillers, like addiction and tooth decay. Nicholson said some of her doctors have recommended to her that she smoke, and others have shrugged their shoulders when she told them. None, she said, ever told her to stop. The problem is that Nicholson lives in Minnesota, where doctors are not allowed to prescribe marijuana, so what she is doing is illegal. It's something the former Hebrew teacher is not proud of. Quote, "I don't like doing things that are illegal," said Nicholson. "I'm a mother. I don't believe in teaching my children to do as I say, not as I do," end quote. Nicholson soon may not have to break state law anymore. The Minnesota legislature is close to passing a bill that would allow smoked marijuana to be prescribed by physicians. The bill was passed by the state Senate last year, and Republican representative and co-sponsor of the bill, Chris DeLaForest, said he believes the bill has enough support to pass the House. But Republican Governor Tim Pawlenty has said he will veto the bill because of opposition to it by law enforcement. Quote, "In my world, I don't think we're going to be able to tell the good guys from the bad guys," end quote, said Bob Bushman, president of the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association, when he testified before the Senate in 2007. DeLaForest says he believes Pawlenty could still be swayed to sign the bill, which would make Minnesota the 13th state in the country to pass a medical marijuana bill that is in direct defiance of federal law. Other states, such as New York, Illinois, and Rhode Island, also have medical marijuana bills currently under consideration by their state legislatures. The Minnesota County Attorneys Association and the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association oppose the bill. Quote, "Marijuana is not medicine," said MCAA President James C. Backstrom in an email. "Medicine in this country requires the approval of the FDA before it is used to ensure the safety of Americans. Numerous studies and medical organizations, as noted in the MCA position paper, have concluded that marijuana has no proven medical value, end quote. Well, one of the things I always like is when police officers and lawyers start acting like they're doctors, and when they don't notice that the American College of Physicians has recommended medical marijuana lately. And I'm always amazed by the argument the medicinal use of marijuana shouldn't be legal because it makes tougher for law enforcement to, quote, catch the bad guys, end quote. Essentially, they're saying that because some people smoke marijuana to get high, a few people will just have to suffer pain, addiction, and the pharmaceutical side effects. Well, we know you're in incredible pain, Ms. Nicholson, but we just can't have you smoking pot because then some college kid will spark up a doobie in his dorm room while listening to the Cottonmouth Kings on his iPod. Some people must suffer so that others don't get high. It's ridiculous.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Oral sex and marijuana use linked to throat cancer. Baltimore, Maryland. The sexually transmitted virus that causes some cervical cancers can also cause cancer in the upper throat, researchers at Johns Hopkins Kimmel Cancer Center report. The human papillomavirus, more commonly known as HPV or genital warts, is linked to throat cancers most often in younger, married college graduates, according to the study published in the March 12th issue of the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. The connection grows stronger with larger numbers of oral sex partners and increasing marijuana use. Other head and neck cancers are more often associated with smoking tobacco, alcohol use, and poor oral hygiene, suggesting they may be a separate disease, said Dr. Maura L. Gillison, Associate Professor of Oncology and Epidemiology at Hopkins, and the lead researcher on the study. More research will need to be done to clarify the relationship to marijuana use, she said. Quote, it's possible that other behaviors linked with marijuana use could be the real culprit, and our results will need to be confirmed, end quote, she said. Chemicals in marijuana called cannabinoids could affect the immune system's ability to fight a virus. Well, we'll cover this study with Dr. Earlywine next week, but it seems to me that this is a warning for those people who have genital warts and perform a lot of oral sex while smoking a bong. And what exactly is the goal here? To get people to give up oral sex and marijuana? Good luck with that one.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. In Canada, medicinal use of marijuana is already legal. Now the Canadian government has announced that they will soon stop arresting marijuana smokers altogether. We can learn much from our neighbors to the north. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org.
All right, it's Wednesday, Cannabis Science Day here on The Stash, and as we do every week, we like to speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany. So, Dr. Earlywine, welcome back to The Stash.
Thanks so much for having me.
Before we get too deep into our subjects here, we want to remind everybody about our contest that we have going off, Pass the Stash, where you could win great prizes from Normal, and the prize we have right now is a copy of Dr. Earlywine's new book, The Parent's Guide to Marijuana, and this is a book for parents to learn about what marijuana can and can't do, and a little bit about talking to kids about it. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay, so the contest is we just want to hear from parents out there who listen to The Stash who might have any questions about how to talk to their kids or how marijuana might affect their kids. So you can send your questions to 420research. @gmail.com, and we will take three of those questions and answer those on our upcoming Daily Audio Stash for next week. And you could win a copy of the book, Parents' Guide to Marijuana. Speaking of Parents' Guide here, let's talk about adolescents and marijuana. What do people need to know about the science behind how marijuana can affect their adolescents?
The bottom line on this is that really all the stuff we may have learned back in junior high probably isn't true at all. So there's no marijuana-induced gateway effect. It doesn't drive you to use hard drugs. This idea that marijuana saps motivation and turns you into some kind of apathetic slug is, of course, also untrue. And sometimes we hear things about marijuana turning you aggressive, which, of course, anybody who's ever used it thinks must be completely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But the things that do matter are things related to teen brain development. So marijuana does actually interfere with brain development. The ratio of gray and white matter seems to be awry in teens who are heavy users. And this really translates into a decrease in IQ across long term. So we've got data from an 8-year follow-up study where teens who used heavily early in life ended up with lower IQs later on down the line. And of course, we all want to have as much intelligence as we can, and that's definitely something that's true and something that teens really need to know about.
Well, I'd mentioned in the news segment a little earlier too about these researchers in New Mexico, down there at the Mind Research Network at the University of New Mexico, who were they're getting just about $1 million, and it says they're trying to study the workings of marijuana in adolescents. And one of the things they also bring up is the potential of people to be, and their words here, genetically predisposed to marijuana addiction. What's the science behind this idea of, can someone become addicted to marijuana?
There is a small subset, maybe 9 to 12% of folks who use marijuana and end up basically dependent. So they've got to have it in order to function normally. They experience tolerance or they experience withdrawal if they don't have it. And that's, a bit of a drag, not the kind of thing we want to have. Of course, it's nothing like heroin addiction, alcohol addiction, or even tobacco addiction, but it's something that's definitely there. The notion that there may be a heritable component to this addiction is also consistent with some other work. So in animal literature, it looks like it's pretty easy to breed rats that are more likely to become addicted to certain substances. So the notion that there may be a certain gene that puts folks at risk for this is not completely outrageous. We just don't have that literature yet, and I'm actually kind of eager to see how that research turns out.
Yeah, we'll have to follow up on that. I'm sure we'll once we get some of the information coming out of that study in New Mexico, we'll look at that and talk about it here on a stash. Now, speaking of marijuana addiction, I covered another story, and this was quite shocking to me, where this study in Sydney, or these researchers in Sydney, Australia, say that if you've got the dreaded marijuana addiction, you could help kick it with lithium. How does that sound to you?
This breaks my heart. I'm stunned that anybody would even try this study, much less publish this and present it like it's some kind of help. Lithium is a medication used for bipolar disorder, and even my bipolar clients don't particularly like it. It's not the kind of thing that creates just a simple cure without any side effects. It's pretty notorious for some crazy sexual dysfunction, weight gain, kind of lethargy, decrease in good mood, and all kinds of other problems. And the notion that marijuana dependence would then be treated with this,
yeah,
when in fact, marijuana dependence is markedly less bad than some of the side effects of lithium, just seems absurd to me. I realize we're always on the lookout for pharmacological therapies to help any kind of psychopathology that we can identify, but this is a task that is just really ridiculous, where essentially the cure is markedly worse than the problem.
Yeah, I had noted also that, when you list some of those side effects for lithium, about half of them you could treat with medical cannabis. the nausea, the headaches. Yeah, this is quite surprising.
Exactly it. So clearly this is not the route to take. I'm much more inclined to say if folks are dependent on cannabis, to take a good look at, the pros and cons of using less, and walk through their lives and see what would it take in order to use markedly less often. If they do feel like it's appropriate to quit, the withdrawal is actually relatively minor, and they can find that they, fill their time with other activities. If you really are having a struggle for it, I don't think it's the kind of thing that needs a pharmacological intervention so much as just filling your time with other things to do. And people do it every day. It's really okay to quit. It's not like you couldn't still be part of the whole normal community and make sure that nobody else gets arrested for possession.
Absolutely. We have a lot of people that join and donate to Normal that have never smoked cannabis in their lives. They just believe in civil liberties and that prohibition is the wrong way to go.
Roger Rothman, one of my favorite marijuana researchers, was using and realized it was just getting a little too compulsive, so he decided to knock it off, but continued the research and has, at one time or another, been in charge of chapters of Normal in the state of Washington.
Yeah, and this lithium, too, isn't, aside from just the side effects, does it have a addiction component to it as well?
It's hard to say, but definitely when people go off, they have things that look a hell of a lot like withdrawal. So I think, although we don't see the stereotypical tolerance, we certainly see the withdrawal from it, and it's not a far cry from dependence on, say, caffeine or something like that.
Now, speaking of the real science here behind marijuana, also last week we got to see some new information coming out about head and neck cancers, and we didn't hear a whole lot in the mainstream media about the good news that came out of that study.
What's funny is maybe a year ago, there was a big study about head and neck cancer being increased in cannabis smokers, and I always found it a little bit funny because it just didn't seem to be a very big effect, but it was statistically significant because it had a huge sample. And the researchers said things in the media that were just embarrassing about how important this research was and how this is such a big deal for marijuana smokers worldwide. Now, the same crew basically discovers that they don't replicate the effect, and we see nothing in the media. The researchers don't say a word. And the irony of that is just a little too rich for me.
Yeah, we don't even get a never mind out of them. We always hear the bad news. As soon as there's any sort of junk science that comes out trumpeting the bad news about marijuana, boy, that's all over the airwaves. But as soon as they find the good news, that seems to be very, very quiet.
It's a scary trend, but one that we've been seeing time and time again.
Well, we'll get the news out, if anything, that's for sure. Well, Mitch, we want to thank you for joining us again here on The Stash. Dr. Mitch Earlywine and his book, Parents' Guide to Marijuana. You can pick that up at Amazon.com. We'll also have links to it up here at The Stash. And don't forget about our contest. You can send Dr. Earlywine your questions at 420research@gmail.com. You could win a copy of the book mailed directly to you. Again, Mitch, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my hearty thanks to you, Russ.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Today, for our musical break here on The Stash, we look to a singer-songwriter for our midweek hit. We found the perfect guy with a guitar kind of music. Mark Gothard has a unique voice like other greats of his genre, like, say, Tom Waits or Neil Young. And his guitar style is engaging and warm, and like all good folkster artists, he has something to say. Today's track, If Thomas Jefferson Were Here, is a reflection on the state of our government. In our struggle to end prohibition, we can get inspiration from the Jefferson quote, "The will of the people is the only legitimate foundation of any government." If you like Mark's style, please visit his website at markgothard.com, where you can find much more of his music for free. For more information on this artist or our other PodSafe music artists, please see music.podshow.com. And as always, you can get more information and download the MP3 at our blog, stash.normal.org. This is Mark Gothard, and If Thomas Jefferson Were Here. Thank you.
Thomas Jefferson were hit, I think you'd think things pretty queer. This great land which he helped shape, I think to France he might escape. The great experiment for which he fought, and the freedoms which he sought. Guess what we now have today? Real TV to show the way. As terrorists attack, and mad cows in our Big Macs, not a lot for us to cheer. Too many carbs in my light beer. If Thomas Jefferson were here, I think he'd hide away in fear. Would he regress and say, I warned ya, and we've got Arnold in California. What are we to do? Dearest Tommy, who do we shoot? Will come and save our beloved USA? Is there none among us who will stand against the fungus? What are we to do? Dearest Tom, what do we do? If Thomas Jefferson were here, I'd have to hold him close and near. He'd be swinging loose and wide against the turning of the tide. He would stand up tall and fight for what he knew was just and right. And we'd all be there to see what someday we need to be.
Hi, I'm Rick Steves, and you're enjoying Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Please take a moment right now to support this organization by donating online.
All right, one of the ways that we're trying to end adult marijuana prohibition is through education, and we turn now to Allison Holcomb, who's the Marijuana Education Project Director at the American Civil Liberties Union of Washington State. Allison, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Russ.
Well, we're really excited to be able to talk about this this project that you guys have going on with Rick Steves. And a lot of people who are familiar with Normal will know about Rick Steves. He's the travel author, has lots of shows on the Travel Channel, and he runs a book and a website called Europe Through the Back Door. He's one of the most respected authors on the travel through Europe. And, well, tell him about this new project that you've got going on with Mr. Rick Steves.
Thanks, Russ. We're really excited about this project and thrilled that Rick has joined us in starting off what we hope will be a public conversation about whether or not our marijuana laws are working for us or against us. And the idea behind it is basically that it's our sense that for at least the last 70 years, the public dialogue about marijuana has really been monopolized by, on the one hand, sort of the fear tactics reminiscent of reefer madness of the 30s, and on the other hand, sort of a tongue-in-cheek giggle factor approach that probably is typified for most of us by the Cheech and Chong images of the 1970s. And so as a result, you don't really see a lot of people feeling comfortable having open, down-to-earth conversations about what these laws are doing to our society and whether they're really helping us or whether we ought to think about ways that we might change them.
So it's not necessarily an advocation of the use of marijuana or even advocating changing the laws, but more just let's have a reasonable discussion.
You got it exactly. And certainly we're not advocating that anyone use marijuana any more than we would advocate that somebody take up drinking or take up tobacco smoking. But the question I think that we want to pose to everybody to discuss in a reasonable, sort of level-headed way is, does it make sense to make the consumption of marijuana a crime? And what does that mean in terms of the resources that we have to put into this marijuana prohibition and the impact that it has not only on the individual lives of people who might be arrested or prosecuted for their use of marijuana, but also for their families, their loved ones, and communities as a whole? Our communities are impacted by the fact that these laws are on the books, just as our communities were impacted when alcohol prohibition was in effect.
Absolutely. Few people actually do serious jail time for marijuana arrests, but it's all the other harms that come from a marijuana arrest, the loss of a job, the loss of a license, etc. Now, you folks up there in Washington State actually have a pretty good perspective on how the marijuana laws or the costs of enforcing the marijuana laws can be affected by positive legislation. Up in Seattle, they had the initiative I-90, is that correct? Where they
actually, I'm guessing that you're thinking of I-75.
I-75, thank you.
Yeah. That's right. That's the lowest law enforcement priority initiative that was passed by the Sensible Seattle Coalition in 2003. And what it did was it made adult possession of marijuana for personal use the lowest law enforcement priority of the Seattle Police Department as well as the Seattle City Attorney's Office. And it also created essentially an oversight committee that was comprised of the Seattle City Attorney's Office, and actually Tom Carr, our Seattle City Attorney, sat in on all the meetings and participated in the drafting of our final report, as well as representatives of the Seattle Police Department, King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, also substance abuse providers, community representatives, criminal defense lawyers. And what this oversight committee did was they were charged with reviewing how Initiative 75 was implemented and what the impacts of the implementation of that initiative were on the city of Seattle. And we just published our final report, provided that to the Seattle City Council in January of this year. And we were pleased with the findings. Obviously, there's a limited amount of information that you can, or I should say a limited amount of conclusions that you can draw from looking at marijuana enforcement over a period of 4 years, which is what we did. But what we did see was that marijuana arrests went down, marijuana prosecutions went down, and there was no resulting negative impact on the community. We didn't see marijuana usage rates go up. We didn't see crime rates in general go up. We didn't see health impacts on our community. And while we can't say that we actually saved dollars that we were able to put back into our taxpayers' pockets, what we could say is that there, because the arrests and prosecutions for these marijuana offenses declined, that represents an availability of those resources, an availability of police officer hours, of assistant city attorney's hours, to focus on more important offenses and crimes that were having more of an impact on our community. And so overall, we had good conclusions, and we're going to follow up on that, because another thing that the report revealed was that there was a pre-existing racial disparity in the arrests and prosecutions for marijuana offenses. Specifically, we discovered that an African-American person is 12 times as likely to be arrested or cited for marijuana possession and 12 times as likely to be prosecuted for marijuana possession in this city than a white person is. Now, that's not something that was necessarily caused by I-75, and in fact, in the year where we saw marijuana arrests and prosecutions decreased the greatest, which was 2004, we saw that disparity decrease as well. But what it did do was give us the opportunity to see that there is a problem there, and we're going to do some follow-up work. And so we're excited that the Seattle City Council expressed interest in wanting to get at why we were seeing this racial disparity in marijuana prosecutions. We plan on following up on the work of the Marijuana Policy Review Panel.
Well, excellent. You know, and I think the success of the I-75 up there in Seattle is also helpful, you know, on the and bringing that with along with this infomercial with Rick Steves, is that we're letting the general public see that we make these positive changes in marijuana law and the sky doesn't fall. You know, we don't see any of the predicted, you know, harms of the raised in rates or raise in crime. It makes it easier to get our point across to the general public. And in reference to this project that you're doing with Rick Steves, I think you really couldn't have picked a better person. Here's someone who's not going to be threatening to the general public. A lot of people already know him from his travel work. He's probably the last person anyone would imagine would be bringing up the subject of marijuana.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that we love about Rick, is that he is a family man. He is very devoted to his wife and his two teenage kids. He takes very seriously all of the issues around the information that our teenagers get about marijuana and other drugs in general. He wants his kids to be safe. He's very active in the Lutheran Church and, in fact, is traveling to Washington, D.C. in March to receive an award from the church for his work with there. He's a community person. He cares about his community. And as those of us who know him as a traveler know, he's an excellent representative of America abroad. He's a fabulous citizen. He's a world citizen. And he's very accessible. And he really just feels like he sees the same problems that we do, is people just don't seem to feel comfortable talking about this. And we see him as being very courageous. He's a businessman. He's, you know, runs a very large travel business here in Washington State that is known throughout the world, and he's not afraid to speak out about this issue. And we know a lot of other people are afraid to speak out. And so we're hoping that other people have the same reaction you're having, Russ, is that, you know, this is someone who's accessible, that can demonstrate that it's okay to talk about these issues. And that's actually a reflection of being a responsible citizen, that you want to talk about it.
Absolutely. I got to meet Rick Steves at the Normal Conference in Los Angeles last year.
Absolutely.
And in speaking to him, he made what I thought was an excellent point, that here in America, we just have two answers. You can be tough on drugs or soft on drugs. And he says that in Europe, they have a third way to be smart on drugs.
That's right. And I think that's exactly what he's hoping he can bring to an American audience, is the idea that we can do that too. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we'll come up with the same answers as they've come up with in Europe or anywhere else. But this is, you know, this is the country of the First Amendment to our Bill of Rights, is the First Amendment, right? It's about speech. And it's about knowing that good public policy flows from good public discussions. And that's what Rick is really interested in getting started in our country around this issue that's been taboo for too long.
Well, let's tell the listeners then where they can catch this. It's a 30-minute infomercial featuring Rick Steves from Europe Through the Back Door discussing the need for a discussion about marijuana policy. Where can people see the video, and where will you be broadcasting it?
Right now, the video is available free 24/7 to 670,000 subscribers to Comcast Cable in the Western Washington region. And we also are in the process right now of scheduling time on some local Seattle television stations, and should have those times available within the next couple of weeks. And we'll be posting information about viewing times on the website that's connected to the video. And that website is marijuanaconversation, all is one word, .org. And we will, as we find other viewing times and schedule other broadcast viewing times, we'll make that information available on the website.
Excellent. MarijuanaConversation, singular, .org is the website, and you can get all the dates and times up there. We'll have a link to it up on our website at stash.normal.org. Allison Holcomb is the Marijuana Education Policy Director from the ACLU of Washington. Allison, thank you for joining us on the Stash today.
Thank you so much for having me, Russ.
All right. Good day.
Good day.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you with today's cannabis quote from Harry S. Truman, former President of the United States. Quote, "When even one American who has done nothing wrong is forced by fear to shut his mind and close his mouth, then all Americans are in peril." End quote. So take that to heart, come out of the closet, and proclaim yourself as a cannabis consumer. only when us responsible cannabis consumers make our points to the public will we see an end to adult marijuana prohibition. Stand up and be counted. Fight for your rights. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for downloading The Stash today. We'll be back tomorrow with Cannabis and the Law and a discussion with Alan St. Pierre. Until then, take care of each other. We'll see you tomorrow.